Thank you, Shannon. I wish I had thought of that. It would have been a lot easier to do my sermon if I thought of that instead of what I thought. That was good. Thanks. We have two scripture lessons. One is Exodus 34 and Luke 9. And Exodus 34 is the famous giving of the Ten Commandments. And somebody posted this the other day that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with the Ten Commandments, it was the first recorded time in history where someone downloaded things from a cloud onto a tablet. So I thought it was pretty good. Okay, Exodus 34:29-35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take it off until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what had been commanded. The Israelites would see the face of Moses. That skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. And our New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter, reading verses 28-43. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companion were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. And just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." And suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." And Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And while he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have y'all watched any TV this week? Man, I don't know if you would call it an obsession, but I am definitely have a compulsion to watch TV news when times like this happen. I watched a lot. I mean, I watched all three news channels. and if I had had Al Jazeera, I would have watched that one too. But this Russian invasion of Ukraine is very disturbing. And what's so disturbing are the stories of the people who are just, you know, just regular European folks. And then this man does a land grab and sends 120,000 troops into this innocent country unprovoked. And it bothers me on a lot of levels. And I remember one woman in particular was saying that nobody in Ukraine thought this was happening. They didn't think it was going to happen. And so she said she was a member of parliament. And she said, you know, Wednesday, we had a normal day in parliament. You know, we had meetings and we had votes. And today I'm sitting on my front porch with an assault rifle ready to shoot to defend my home. And she said, I feel like I'm in a fog. I feel like, I feel just sort of untethered. And I can understand that. I don't know if you've ever felt that way in your life. When something changes so fast and so dramatically, you know, you really do feel kind of like you don't know what's up or down. You don't know where it is. And I don't know what that would be for you today. But people are just reeling there. You know, one day is normal, and the next day they are in a war zone. It's disorienting. It's like you wake up in this crazy new normal. I want you to think about if you've had one of those experiences. I know it's not war, but something changed so quickly. And I can think of a couple. The one I remember most is when my father died in 2007. And he died on a Monday afternoon. And I remember Tuesday morning, I was sitting at my kitchen table and I was crying. And my mom called, who was over there, had been over there with him when he died. And she's a strong woman. And she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm crying. And she said, okay, well, dry up and come over here. We got work to do. And she was right. I had to get going. But I remember this feeling. I wasn't sure gravity worked because he had always been there. You know, he had always been in my life. And I wasn't sure I was going to step out the door and the ground go boing. You know, I felt unmoored. And I felt like I was really in a fog. And that's what these events do to us. It makes things confusing, disorienting, and it can be something good too. You know, where somebody has got a good somebody they date and they get along really well, and all of a sudden they propose marriage. It makes your head spin. You're not really sure what's this going on. Or you accept that, and then you think, where's my life going? It can happen with a job. It can happen with money. But it's these events that just put us into a fog and help us. And we don't know where things are. It makes your head spin a little bit. And I think to say scripture can help us with that. It's Transfiguration Sunday. We have it every year. I always wonder why. You know, you don't have Feeding of the 5,000 Sunday or something like that. This Transfiguration Sunday is every year. And you see new things in it every time. And this is one that I think can help us in these times of confusion and times of sudden change. Whether that be sickness, you know, if you fall and you have to have surgery and now you're in rehab and you're in a different place and your whole life is really different. Or somebody, you know, somebody's spouse dies, and where's my life going? You know, there's a million things. Job insecurity, finances, relationships. What happens when we're in this fog? So I want to think of some cloud stories. I remember Tanner's from last year about being on the Appalachian Trail and walking into the fog. And I've got a couple. When I was my senior in high school, my family spent the summer in St. Andrews, Scotland. And then a couple of years later, I went back as an independent study. Did I mention I went to Wake Forest? Did any of y'all know that? I went to Wake Forest University. And so I was over there, and I was looking up some people, and I looked up this friend, a girl named Susan Leslie. Leslie's such a great Scottish name. And she wanted me and my Wake Forest friend to go meet her parents. And so she took her car, and we drove in Fife right by the ocean and went south and from St. Andrews and had dinner with her family. And then while we were at dinner, this fog came in off of the North Sea right there from the east. And we got in there, and it was, you know, and Scotland, even, I mean, this was in January, so, I mean, the sun set at 2 in the afternoon. But it was dark, and it was foggy, and, you know, you're on the left side of the road. She's driving, the steering wheel's over here, and I'm in the front left. I had to open the door to look at the little line to make sure we're on the road. We were going so slow. We couldn't see anything. High beams, low beams, you couldn't see anything. That's how fog, and you didn't know whether you were going up or down or whether it's going to go left. And we're right beside the ocean, these cliffs. So I remember that so well. And we have a mountain house, and it's at 3,000 feet. And so when you have low clouds, a lot of times it's in those clouds. And when you at night, it's so hard to get there because your lights go straight line, but the roads go up and down. And so if you're at the top, if you're going up a road and then it goes down, your lights are still shining up. You can't see where that road goes. And it is very, very disorienting. And so that, I think, is the main thing with feeling like you're in a fog with life things, is that you just can't tell what's up and down, and you feel disoriented. And nothing else has happened. So let's look at this text and see what happens with this cloud they have here. Look at the first verse. It says, "Now 8 days after these sayings," I need to kind of let you know what that context is, because these sayings, and this is in the Gospel of Luke, not the Gospel of Mark. These sayings is when Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus started telling them how the Son of God must be betrayed, suffer, and die, and after 3 days rise again. And then he has that whole thing where he says, if you save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you'll find it. And then the last thing he says is, and some of you standing here will not pass away before you see the kingdom of God. And I just wonder if this transfiguration is what he's talking about, that he knew that Peter, James, and John were going to see something. So then he takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain to pray. And by the way, you and me praying, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know about you, but mine's sporadic. I don't know about yours. Jesus Christ prayed, you know. He went up to a mountain to pray. Now, we may go up on a mountain to have a picnic, but what is it? You know, if Jesus needed to pray, we should be praying. We should be. That's just a little aside, but and then his appearance of his face changed, his clothes became dazzling white. Any of y'all remember the Mr. Clean commercials where the Mr. Clean was in a t-shirt and it came really, really white? That's what I think about. And then they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. My question, how do they know? Right? They have name tags? Moses? I don't know. They do. Moses and Elijah, and they appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem, which I think means his death and resurrection. That's what I think that means, his departure when he's about to in Jerusalem. And now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. That's the greatest thing, because it sounds just like Peter. He knows he needs to say something. He's all excited because here are the rock stars of Judaism, Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and it's just them. And what he wants to say is, "Hey, let's camp out, man. Let's stay right here. This is great. Yeah, let's forget about all that stuff you said about suffering and dying." And that's always the case with these mountaintop experiences. Some of you that have been Montreat and stuff, Montreat Youth Conference, you know, it's a mountaintop experience, but you have to go back down the mountain, and you see what happens at the end of the story. He goes back down, and the other disciples have failed to heal this little boy, and Jesus is pretty frustrated. But that's, you know, Peter just wants to stay there, and we all do. We want to stay in that place where the life is so certain and so clear, and we know God's presence is there and is special. He wants to build three tabernacles so that those three can spend the night. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. And I want to spend a little bit of time thinking about all that glory of God, a glimpse of God's glory, And then they're terrified immediately when the cloud comes. And they can't see Jesus, and they become afraid. And I want to suggest to you that that is a very normal reaction when you're in your cloud, when things happen that untether you, that things happen where you feel like you're in a fog. That fear is the first thing, and that's a very normal part, and that's what they felt. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen, my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And I don't know if those guys ever followed up that they did listen. They didn't listen to Jesus a lot of the time. But that's the command that comes out of the cloud. And then when the voice is spoken, Jesus was found alone. And so I just want to think about this. What is your cloud today? What is the thing that is disorienting to you, that brings fear to you? I mean, there may be a person listening to me who does not have that, but I think a lot of us do. I know people listening that have just had, you know, very serious diagnosis, totally thrown their lives into a different place. I have a friend in Birmingham, Alabama, whose husband died this week, and I know her life and that of her kids and her family is totally turned upside down. But what is your cloud today? It could be your job. It could be your financial future. It could be just what's ahead. It could be where you're going to go to college. It could be a relationship. I have a friend who's celebrating this week the end of her marriage. It was her marriage ended last year, and this is the first anniversary of their marriage that she's had to celebrate by herself. All of that is what throws us, and we can't see up or down, and we get disoriented. And what we want is we want to live our lives not in the cloud, but in the clear. You know, and if you remember, when the disciples were in the clear, that's when, you know, Jesus was started to be glowing and white and transfigured. But you also remember that when it was in the clear, they got sleepy. That was when they were like not, about to nod out. You know, it doesn't say anything about being sleepy when the cloud came. When the cloud came, they were terrified. It woke them up. And sometimes, and I want you just to consider this, it's only in the cloud that we can experience God most fully. That when things are going great, we kind of feel like we've got this. We kind of click along on our own. We don't really lean on God, so, and maybe we get sleepy like the disciples did. But when the cloud comes, man, that is when we can experience God most fully. And why is that? Well, one is because the fog is terrifying. We are afraid. Those people in Ukraine are afraid. When you get into one of these life situations, I mean, I know my friend whose husband just died. I know she's a woman of faith, and he was a Presbyterian minister, and I know that she is courageous, and I know that she is full of faith in the resurrection, but I also know she's wondering what the future holds. She's afraid, and she's trying to reach out and calm herself during this cloud that is in her life. And I think the reason we're afraid is because we're out of control. You know, we like to be in control, and yet we need to let God be in control. And when things are going great, you know, that's when we feel like, hey, we got this, God, you handle something else, but I'm good here. When we're in the fog, we are out of control. We know we need God to guide us. You know, and that's the way it is. You know, I have friends that have just gotten a new, very serious diagnosis, and all of a sudden their life is about, you know, chemo and scans, and you know, their whole life is doing these things to stay alive. And they're out of control. I mean, they're trying to be in control. But it's that's why the fog is terrifying. The other thing is the fog is confusing. Just like with my friends in Scotland, we couldn't tell where the road was going. You know, we tried hard to look down and just see the line under the car. And so it's hard to know up or down which way to go. It forces us to rely on God. And what does God say in the cloud? This is my son, the chosen Listen to him. Listen to him. And how do you do that? Because as Christians, you know, you hear all the time a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what is a friendship like if all I did was talk to my friends and never listen to them? We wouldn't have much of a relationship. It's a give and take. It's a give and take. We talk and we listen. And that's what it's got to be with God. And that's what it's got to be with Jesus. Not that we just pray. Yes, pray. But listen. And I'll plug Bible study again right here. This is a good plug for Bible study. That, how do we hear God? How do we hear Jesus? We look. The first word is his word. Read it. Read it on your own. Come here. You're doing good. Come here and listen on the radio, whatever. But also, go to Bible study and be in the Word. That is the way that Jesus talks to us. That's the main way. Now, you can be led of the Holy Spirit, and God can lead you in other ways. But that is a very, essential way. Is if God in the cloud says, "This is my son, listen to him," we need to listen. And if don't just be in the fog and go, "Oh, I'm helpless. Oh, life is terrible. End of story." There is in the cloud this opportunity. And this is the great good news of this passage, is that you want God to speak? Well, man, one place God speaks the loudest is in the cloud. When you're in the cloud, listen, because God will speak. When things are great, you may not hear much, you know? And the disciples had not heard anything like this before this. But in the cloud, God speaks. And you and I need to listen for that, and not just, you know, bemoan the existential, you know, junk of life, but to really realize these things happen, and in the cloud, whether it's sickness, whether it's something good like being engaged, whether it's the end of a relationship or the beginning of a relationship, any of these things, new job, financial insecurity, any of those things, listen for God to speak and avail yourself of God's word. And you speak and pray and let God have a conversation. And that's the perfect place to hear God. And that's the good news of this, that it's in the cloud that God speaks, that you're not in the bad place. You're in the place, a perfect place to hear God speak and to be guided. And sometimes God gives us this stuff because we are so self-sufficient, and we need to be God-dependent, not independent. And when we get into the cloud, we get afraid, we get confused, and we naturally want to reach out. So listen for God and do those things. I want to close with one other quote. This is by Jill Duffield, who's the editor of Presbyterian Outlook. "The story of the Transfiguration reminds me that when I'm weighed down with sleep, tired, barely able to function, desperately trying to be dutiful and attentive to Jesus, I'm not alone. Other disciples surround me. The covenant of God includes me. The promises and admonitions of the prophets offer me hope and spur me to action. I'm enveloped in the cloud." This is a very cool way to put it. "I'm enveloped in the cloud that connects heaven and earth. If I can do nothing else, I can be silent and listen. I'm in the very presence of the Son of God, and a divine word will come, a great, certain mercy that enables me to not lose heart, no matter how terrifying the fog. A divine word will come, a great, certain mercy that enables me to not lose heart, no matter how terrifying the fog." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you never let go of us, that you give us these times in the clear where we can fall asleep or struggle with staying awake. But also thank you, Lord, for you give us these times of uncertainty, these times where our lives have totally changed and we don't know what the future holds. We're afraid and we're confused. Speak to us, O God, while we're in this cloud. Let us hear your voice of love Let us feel your strength and power that created the universe. Touch our hearts, touch our lives, touch our bodies, touch our relationships, and help us to stay in a conversation with you, of us speaking to you and of us listening to you speak. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.